JC2S, Part 2.
Number 16B.
So, you see, always remember this over and over again, that just keep culturing it. That's why this sense of anthropomorphism is going to come up to say, well, of course God can't be perceived through the senses. He's not anthropomorphic. And then in Christian Science we say, well, what is God? Well, God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But what is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? Those are just words. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is a law of creativity. So therefore we see that Mrs. Eddy defined God as principle. Capital P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E. And that, when we look it up in the dictionary, means a comprehensive law from which other laws are derived and from which other laws are founded. So God is a law, an incorporeal comprehensive law of the universe from which other laws are founded. So we just keep concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building. That's why she comes up and says that this living theology cannot be held back by the mob rule within our consciousness that God is anthropomorphic. It's just because it's such a strong universal and collective and individual belief within consciousness. Even though we know God is a law, it still gnaws away through mob rule of this morphogenetic field within us, within science, within theology, within medicine. So we can say, yes, sure, that laws are invisible. How do we see laws? That life power we saw at the point of principle was a life power which is an impersonal principle which heals. It's not a personality that heals. So that life power, she said, is an impersonal principle. That life power is our impersonal laws. And so God would be the laws of being. So when we have the model of being, we have that God, that principle, reduced to, through the method of the Christ, to the laws of being. So we have that principle on the science level, which is that comprehensive law, which includes all the laws of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. So what we have as the model of being, or the model of God being, for the 7,000 year period, as we know Max shows in his book on the four levels of spiritual consciousness, that principle and its laws, that's God. And therefore Jesus, as we know now in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who was the individual expression of those laws in being. And how we know then that Matthew shows us how he was the individual expression of the laws of interdependence of the life. Mark, the laws of interdependence of the truth. Luke, the laws of interdependence of Christianity. John, the laws of interdependence of the science order. He was the expression of laws of interdependence. When we studied that subject, we studied laws. And therefore, when Jesus said, if you've seen me, I am those laws in operation. Therefore, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen those laws in operation. So God, I am God being. I am those laws being. And therefore, those cannot be seen by the senses. So this is natural then. So when she says that God is not a corporeal being, cannot be seen by the senses, cannot be known through the material senses. She says, what's the use to war over the corporeality of God and try to worship God through the medium of matter and the senses? Why war over corporeality? God is an incorporeal law. It will never get us anywhere. She says, we can only know that life power, which is an impersonal principle, which are impersonal laws. That life power, which is an impersonal law, is the truth. And that can only be known through the mind of Christ, those laws of life, truth, and love. That's why she says to know God spiritually as mind, as life, truth, and love. She says we know God spiritually through the spiritual senses as that mind, which is just the the law of life, truth, and love in operation is to say, remember, God is just the law of life, truth, and love. So to know God spiritually through spiritual sense as mind, as the law of life, truth, and love. Therefore, to obey and adore God by apprehending his real nature as these divine laws, by loving him understandingly as the laws of eternal development of life, truth, and love and divine principle love, by rejoicing in the affluence of these laws of life, truth, and love, and the divine principle love. And then she said, true worship then is spiritual dedication, spiritual steadfastness, spiritual perseverance in the soul of Christianity. So she says to worship God spiritually with spiritual sense is to worship the Father, life in the spirit of truth. So she's saying we have therefore that spiritual steadfastness is the soul of Christianity. And that spiritual steadfastness, she says, then is just to worship with spiritual sense, to worship that life, which, as we just said, is the truth. And that life, which is the truth, is that that God, that life power, which is the truth, are those impersonal laws that heal. Okay? All right, so we go on, and we already have anticipated the life is truth is principle tone, because we see now that God cannot be perceived through the senses, because God is the comprehensive law of the universe, which includes all other laws. So God is the structure of laws, the structure of a nested hierarchy of laws. And so, therefore, this next point, how that life driving forward into the new theology, the living theology, which is the truth, cannot be subdued by the belief of anthropomorphism. So, therefore, in coloring our text, we then, anthropomorphism is the opposite of principle, isn't it? All right. So we look now on page 140, 23 to 32. Mrs. Eddy says, the Jewish tribal Jehovah was a man-projected God, liable to wrath, repentance, and human changeableness. The Christian Science God is universal, eternal, divine love, which changes not and causes no evil, disease, nor death. It is indeed mournfully true that the older scriptures is reversed. In the beginning, God created man in his, God's image, but mortals could procreate man and make God in their own human image. What is the God of a mortal, but a mortal magnified? With the marginal heading, anthropomorphism. So this will just go in. It's quite easy. We just pick out the big life is truth as the principal tones here. So the Jewish tribal Jehovah, that old theology's God, was a man-projective God. Well, that's anthropomorphism, the opposite of principle. Liable to wrath, repentance, and human changeableness. The Christian Science God, or the Christian Science principle, is universal, eternal divine love. See, the Christian Science principle is that living principle love, that law of the living principle love, which changes not and causes no evil, disease, nor death. It is indeed mournfully true that the older scriptures is reversed. In the beginning, God created man in his, God's image. So principle created man in principle's image. But mortals would procreate man and make God in their own image. So mortals, that mistaken sense, would make that principle in their own human image. That's anthropomorphism again, the opposite of principle. And what is the God of a mortal but a mortal magnified? So that's just all anthropomorphism, the opposite of principle. So if we put now our abstraction up, it's just simple. This is a very, very easy one for us now, because we certainly know that is through the last lesson of life is truth of soul, that now God is not anthropomorphic, as I said, that Jewish tribal Jehovah of the Jehovistic document of around 850 BC is that God of the second record of creation, which is that God of the human form, the God of duality. So the God of the human form, that life, which is truth, which is principle, which is anthropomorphic. So we already know that as a tribal God, a man-projected God. But not only is God in a human form to old theology, but man is in a human form. He's immortal. And that man would create man. See that sense of life, that in order for life to go on, it doesn't go on, according to old theology, by God creating man, but it allows man to be in a human form, and therefore mortals create more mortals. The opposite of life, the father of man, man becomes the father of man. The opposite of life. And therefore we would make God in our own image in the anthropomorphic concept. But she says, no, that Christian Science God is that living principle love, that God is a life form. And that life form, she says, then, as we have seen, is that living principle love, that law. And therefore it is universal and eternal. And that man is not a human form, even though we would give God a godlike form, a form which is non-anthropomorphic according to laws. Man also, therefore, is not a man-like form, but man is already the image and likeness of God. That man already would be those laws in expression, that life form in expression. Man already is the consciousness of the living principle love. So that's basically what she wants to show there, that man and God both are defined correctly according to Christian Science, according to that life form, and that life form of God then she has given us, and that life form of man, both being that form of the model of being, the living principle love. Those laws in operation. So God, that model of being is a model of God in operation, and that model of being is a model of man in operation, because man is the image and likeness of that life form. All right, I think that's clear. So let's go on to life is truth is life. Saying, all right, therefore, that life of power, which is bringing forth a living theology, which is breaking down all unreceptive thought as mind, and overcoming all material resistance of spirit, and which is healing sin as well as sickness at soul, and which is an impersonal Christ, an impersonal principle, an impersonal law, which causes us to really follow, to possess the Christ spirit at life and to follow the Christ example. Therefore, here at life, truth, that healing life power now cannot be held back. All that has gone before, as life is mind and life is spirit and life is soul, as life is principle and life is life, breaking down all resistance within us. Now that's not going to be subdued. That's going to keep going. It cannot be subdued as life is truth by any mistaken sense of the Bible, by adhering to any opposing system such as spiritualism, by believing that this God can be perceived through the senses. These beliefs can not hold it back. By the belief of anthropomorphism in the churches can't hold it back. Just old mythology can't hold it back. And now we can see that it cannot be held back by mere profession instead of practicing and living the divine precepts. In other words, to leave all for Christ. So regardless if we just have profession, which is what? Life, just speaking the doctrines, to speaking the word instead of practicing living the word. So that's the life tone, huh? That life is truth is life. That life spirit cannot be held back by just speaking the word instead of living it. So both life turns, by speaking life, the word, and living life, living, huh? Asking us to really have that love, which is life, to leave all for Christ. That's a love tone there, which is life. All right? So let's listen to that tone then of life as life as life. Really covers a small point there from page 141, 1 to 9. She says, more than profession is required. This indicates the distance between the theological and ritualistic religion of the ages and the truth preached by Jesus. More than profession is required for Christian demonstration. Few understand or adhere to Jesus' divine precepts for living and healing. Why? Because his precepts require the disciple to cut off the right hand and pluck out the right eye. That is, to set aside even the most cherished beliefs and practices, to leave all for Christ. So we look, first of all, at the text and we color it and say, well, this says this indicates the distance between the theological and ritualistic religions of the ages and the truth preached by Jesus. The overall tone of the Christ. What brings the distance between old theology, which would be the theological and ritualistic religions, and the truth preached by Jesus, and the religion preached by Jesus, the theology preached by Jesus, is the Christ. That Christ is making the distance. It's bringing what that new theology is and overturning everything what is not right in old theology, bringing it back to new theology. So the Christ is doing that. So that whole first sentence is under the impulse of the Christ is the Christ, having its impact on old theology and with taking it back into the new theology. So we have that life tone with the impulsion of the Christ is the Christ behind it. Then she says, more than profession. Well, we saw that was more than words. The opposite of life, just words, is requisite for Christian demonstration. Few understand or adhere to Jesus' divine precepts for living life, huh? And healing. Why? Because his precepts required the disciple to cut off the right hand and to pluck out the right. There's that sense of the Christ making us, the Christ is the Christ, making us cut off the right hand and pluck out the right eye to really love God. And we'll talk about this when we do our abstraction some more, but that is the tone. To cut off the right hand and pluck out the right eye is done by the Christ is the Christ at the point of life, which is love, to have that love to do that. And then she just epitomizes that love tone, meaning to set aside even the most cherished beliefs and practices, to leave all for Christ. That's that love, the willingness to set down the mortal concept of life and old theology for a friend, for the Christ. So to set aside even the most cherished beliefs and practices to leave all for Christ is a life tone, which is love. So we see then that when we do the abstraction, that we have that life, which is truth, which is life, coming out very clearly, saying that that life of power, which is truth, consciousness, cannot be subdued by mere words. That more than words are required. So more than, that's as a life tone, more than just words, the opposite of life, are required. So she says then that the theological and ritualistic religions of the ages are just dead letter, the opposite of life. They're air. They just are, they're just the dead letter, one would say. And that the truth preached by Jesus was really a living example of his words. Now, this whole teaching is so important, really, because one sees that we really only get that ability to have that living to our words. This is that sense where the words and the works have to go together. We only get it with that love tone, to be willing to set aside even our most cherished beliefs and practices. See that saying? That only happens when within consciousness that living sense comes from that love sense. And we know love is a quality of life, the synonymous term life, not of the synonymous term love. Love, as a synonymous term, is a realm in which we live and move and have our being with that truth consciousness. But love as a quality of God is really at the point of life, because as we know, it means to give up our most cherished material concepts for the love of the principle. So, but even she says it has to be a love. What ultimately is going to make it cut the ice is that we have a love so great that we're going to set aside even the most cherished beliefs and practices to leave all for Christ. And that is that which is required of us in the new theology. Not just to save the best of the spoils, as King Saul did when he went in to battle. He really didn't have that life which is truth, which is life consciousness. He wanted to keep some of the cherished beliefs and practices of the human and of the second degree and the first degree. He always went in and kept the best of the spoils. You see, that which he thought was good and desirable on the human, he didn't set aside all that Mrs. Eddy says, that he didn't even set aside that which is sometimes beautiful but always erroneous. So he didn't have that willingness to give it all up. And that's where she says that is really that which tries to hold back the living practices of the divine idea, where something within us isn't willing to give it all up. Have a greater love has a man, huh, to give up all for the Christ, to be willing to. That's an attitude, isn't it? We know at the point of Abraham, he was willing to sacrifice Isaac. He didn't have to, but the attitude was there. He was willing to do it. That's that greater love we can have. And with that attitude, one has the words and the works go together. And Jesus had that attitude in theology. It was always, not my will but thine be done. He was willing to cut off the right hand and to pluck out the right eye. Whatever the Christ expected of him, he did. Even to the point of going through a crucifixion, which wasn't always that pleasant, is it? He was even willing to do that. And so in order to let the Christ be brought out in his life, in order to show that life was not in and of matter, that he was willing to go through it, he showed that he was a new mutation, we saw already in these life tone, that Jesus was born again, that he had the new birth, that life in and of spirit, that life which is spirit broke down even within him, all material resistance, that he was willing to go forward that spiritual evolution, for that spiritual birth to be born again, to break down the belief that was life in and of matter. And therefore, being that new mutation that broke the chain we saw of material resistance there, meaning that he broke the chain of a material evolution from the first cell up to man, and says, no, that I wasn't born, that I didn't have life in and of a material concept. I wasn't born in matter. I don't live in matter. I don't grow old in matter. I'm not going to die out of matter. He says, and therefore, he was that living example of the new mutation of the new birth in his consciousness, in his truth consciousness. So he was a living example of truth, volume, at the point of the Christ is the Christ, letting it happen in his life at the point of life as spirit, which therefore let that life evolve him forward, which broke down the material resistance that, and therefore shattered, he was a new mutation. He broke the chain of material birth. So he did that for Lazarus. Once at that point of life in and of spirit, then he said, Lazarus, come forth. What is true about me is also true about you. You too can break that chain of belief. So Jesus, in order to do that, had to set aside even his most cherished beliefs and practice. He says he had to have the attitude of the Christ, to leave all for a friend, huh? To leave all for that Christ is the Christ operation, whatever it demanded. So he was willing then to go through the crucifixion to show the resurrection that the ascension, that life was not in and of spiritualism, that life was in and of God and it could not be turned into its opposite, regardless of what the beliefs are of the age. So this is that sense there of profession and practice going one based on love.